I'm Bill Littlefield, ahead on Only a Game. ESPN's Amy K. Nelson discusses her recent visit with Major League umpire Jim Joyce, who blew the call that would have made Armando Galarraga the 21st pitcher to throw a perfect game. But first, here to talk about Duke's upset this week at the hands of Florida State and other matters pertaining to men's college hoops is ESPN's Pat Forty. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. On Wednesday night, unranked Florida State handed Duke its first loss of the season. What precipitated that unlikely outcome, and will the Blue Devils bounce back from the loss?
Well, it has been known to happen before. This is actually the third time that Florida State has beaten Duke when Duke was number one in Tallahassee. So they've got a thing for that. And, you know, the other thing that really kind of made Duke vulnerable is the toe injury to Kyrie Irving, their freshman point guard, who probably, just even as a freshman, was among the five best players in America, and he's been out for quite some time, and so Duke, without him, is a much less vaunted team than they are with him.
Well, what about for the rest of the season? Does Duke look like they will continue to be toward the top?
Duke's going to continue win a bunch of games because the ACC really is not very good this year. We're still trying to figure out who's the second best team in that league, whether it's North Carolina, who's been a disappointment, Virginia Tech, who's been a disappointment, or some other fairly middling opposition. So, you know, even without Kyrie Irving, Duke is probably going to be the best team in the ACC. The question is, without Kyrie Irving, can they win a national title? That remains to be seen, but they're going to be in the mix. Even without him, they're a top 10, probably top 5 team.
Ohio State, Kansas, and Syracuse are currently ranked 2, 3, and 4, respectively. Will one of those currently undefeated teams jump ahead of Duke once the Week 11 rankings are determined?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, probably Ohio State, if Ohio State wins again. I mean, they've been incredibly impressive, and their freshman center, Jared Sullinger, you know, maybe the best guy in America at this point. He's been a double-double machine, you know, incredibly skilled and tenacious in the paint. I would say they have the best chance to be the next number one. You know, the other team's undefeated as well, Kansas and Syracuse. Both are having great seasons so far, and Duke was kind of head and shoulders above the rest of them, but you put a loss on them, and the other three can almost throw a blanket over them.
Ohio State President E. Gordon Gee was highly critical of the BCS this season, Pat. Please don't tell me he's not in favor of the way March Madness plays out.
You know, I would guess if President Gee had his way, you would take 10 blue blood schools and have them play each other and tell everybody else, no, I'm sorry, you go play the Little Sisters of the Poor, you are not good enough. You go in your own little sandbox and we'll decide the real title over here. I do hope President Gee did see the result of the Rose Bowl, in which one of those teams that he poo-pooed, Texas Christian, beat the Big Ten champion Wisconsin. Let's hope he saw that game.
The 2011 tournament field will expand from 65 to 68. What do you see as the pros and cons of the new arrangement?
I see nothing but cons, to be honest. You know, I see what it is basically is a chance to make some more coaches happy in the big conferences by getting the eighth best team in, you know, some power league into the tournament. It may help the third or fourth best team in the Missouri Valley as well, but I think the main reason there is to, you know, further grease the skids for the power elite conferences. What it does, it creates more games on that Tuesday, which, you know, from a television standpoint, I'm sure will be a plus, because when it was, say, Rider against Alabama State, it was not a big TV draw. But if you're going to put Virginia Tech in there against, say, California or something, you're going to get more eyeballs to that than you would in somebody else. So you put four games on that day, you get some bigger names, and there's going to be a little bit bigger TV draw, but it's not going to add to the quality of the tournament one little bit.
Currently residing in the number 6 spot are the Aztecs of San Diego State. What's in the water there in the Mountain West Conference?
Yeah, how about that? Isn't that a nice little twist? And that's one of the great things about basketball is you get to see a little bit more of the nouveau riche, you know, kind of popping up every once in a while. And San Diego State, with Steve Fisher, who you may recall won a national title 21 years ago, and who took the Fab Five to the Final Four in consecutive seasons in the early 90s, most people thought that all he did was ride the coattails of some great talent. But you know what? He was actually a pretty good coach, and I think he's proving it now at San Diego State. He's got a good bunch of players there. They made the tournament last year and back again this year with a team that looks very, very good. And San Diego State has no basketball heritage at all, so kind of fun to see them in the mix.
Butler made it to the championship game last April to the delight of mid-major followers everywhere, but they appear to have fallen off the map. What happened to the Bulldogs?
Well, they probably the best player in school history. Gordon Hayward went pro after sophomore year. He was a top 10 NBA pick, and I think they found out that life after Gordon is not quite that easy. And he was a guy that did everything for them. He was their best rebounder. He was their best scorer. He could play defense on anybody from a small forward to a center. He could bring the ball up the court against the press. And, you know, when you're Butler, as good as that program has been, and as well coached as they are, and as good a job as they've done recruiting, if you take a special, once-in-a-lifetime kind of player out of the mix, you're going to have some backslide there.
Pat, there are a number of games this weekend that will feature top 25 teams. Which ones will you pay particular attention to?
I'm watching my daughter at a swim meet this weekend. I don't know who's playing who.
Well, please wish her our best. This may be more important than any basketball team.
I will. I mean, I will find a way to watch college basketball. I'm just not sure who I should be watching this weekend. I'll pick it back up next week.
Pat Forte's 40-yard dash column appears on the ESPN website. He joins me from time to time to talk men's hoops as well. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
If you'd like to read my reviews of the books we feature on Only a Game, please visit our website, onlyagame.org.